Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Many of you are aware of just the way that God is moving throughout the earth. More recently, it seems like people are receiving a more tangible presence during worship. There's a cry to repentance. There's a move of God that's beginning in the earth. And a lot of people, they have mixed emotions when they hear that. Sometimes people struggle with, why aren't you doing it here, God? Sometimes people want to look at all the different details about it and start to say that maybe it's not God. And I want us to have a correct reaction to what the Lord's doing. Because really that's what we want. He's always moving among us, but we want to be more aware of it. And the verse that came to mind as I was considering this, it's found in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. And it says, ask for rain in the time of rain. And then it says, the Lord will make lightning flash. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the fields for everyone. So Lord, we see what you're doing in the earth, and we ask for rain here in the time of rain, that your presence would water this ground, that it would be good ground, that the seed of your word would bloom and grow. We ask for a new awareness of what you're doing among us, that we would see visions and dream dreams, that we would find you in your word, that you would meet us when we pray, that we would see answered prayer, that we would have testimonies rise up of what you're doing in this season. We thank you, Father. We ask for time in the time of rain. We're going to sing this simple chorus, and it's rain down, rain down. Heaven, come and cover the earth. Fall on good ground, good ground. We don't want to, we don't want to waste your word. And it goes, rain down, heaven, come and cover the earth. Fall on good ground, we don't want to waste your word. Sing, rain down, heaven, come and cover the earth. Fall on good ground, we don't want to waste your word. Rain down, heaven come and cover the earth. Fall on good ground, we don't want to waste your word. Rain down, heaven come and cover the earth. Fall on good ground, make it your prayer, sing it again. Rain down, heaven come and cover the earth. Fall on good ground, we don't want to waste your word. Rain down, heaven come and cover the earth. Fall on good ground, we don't want to waste.
So good to see everybody this morning. I had a couple quick things that I wanted to share before we move into the message time. And one of those things is thank you for going wherever the Lord is going in worship. We have finalized our membership with the Hope Well Network. We've been talking about it for a couple of years now. We were in an engagement period with them. We finally wrote a letter and became part of the Hope Well Network. If you're not familiar with the history of the Hope Well Network, you can get it in this book right here, called The Handprint of God, The History of the Hope Well Network. This is our last copy, but I think we can get some more. And if you want a copy, you just ask around. Lots of people have these, and we'll find you one. But what the reason we joined the Hope All Network, we were kind of in this journey trying to find where we fit in the family of God. We need to be connected with the church as a whole somewhere. We can't just be this island off by ourselves. And so Kat and I had gone to a lot of meetings with a lot of people. And what we were finding was it was really easy to hire a CEO to oversee us. And really hard to find fathers and mothers who wanted to parent us. And we feel like we found that with the Hope On Network. They've not asked us for anything at all. They show up when we need them to show up. They answer all my hard questions, and they're available to us. And I found out something recently, and you guys may have found this in your life, but whereas the CEO was happy to take my money to do the job I was asking him to do, it's really hard to give fathers and mothers money. And this is how fathers and mothers are. You know, they're there to see you become everything you need to be and help you with the needs that you have and walk in relationship. So we weren't looking to buy a place in the body. We were looking to find our place in the body. And we feel like we found that with the Hope On Network. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I encourage you guys. There's a movement in the earth right now. Mentors will mentor you for lots of money. But ask the Lord where your fathers and mothers are. All right? You'll find some here for sure. So another interesting thing that happened this week. Thursday morning, I had a dream. And I want to share the dream with you. I'm going to try to nutshell this dream for you, but it led to some changes to this service. John and Sandy Shantz are here with us today. We'll bring them up in a minute. They're in this book. So this is a book about them as well and what God did in their lives. And so they were already coming just to visit with us. Thursday morning, I was getting up to do my message, and I woke up from this dream. And here's the short version of the dream, and I'll give you the interpretation as well. So there was a move of God happening in the earth, and all of my cousins wanted to have a meeting at my grandparents' house. So now, as far as this family, there's 12 families that are in this cousin group. Our family and one other family is actively walking with the Lord. There's a couple of, yeah, I'm a Christian, and a couple of, no, that's not for me. Be praying for my family. So we all met to talk about what God was doing in the earth. And while we were there in the basement, basements represent things hidden, we found a secret room in my grandparents' house. By the way, the house is owned by a nice Russian couple now. And in the dream, they said, yeah, we'll leave. You can meet in our house. So that's good. And we found this secret room in the basement. And in the secret room in the basement, there was supplies. Supplies that that generation had laid up for this generation. And in those supplies, there were some things that may not have value in this season. There was a whole lot of dog food that I remember expired in 2006, which is probably not a detail that you need. But again, we're not going to feed that to our dog, right? But there may be the temptation, if we see something hungry, to use that. And then also in the dream, there was loads and loads of soap products. There was dish soap. There was laundry soap. There was dishwasher soap. There was tons and tons of air freshener. And then there was also a new washer and dryer hooked up there, ready to go. And as you move down the shelf, once you got past the supplies, there were specific gifts for the next generation. Specific gifts for my children, for my, I guess I'm their, whatever, second uncle, however that works out, in this family line, laid up by the grandparents. And the interesting thing was I looked at the shelves that were for my sons, and they were specifically things that my sons had wanted and that I couldn't get them. So here's what the Lord was saying through the dream. There's a lot more details that I'm not giving you, but it's basically this. The generation that is now the grandparent generation that went before us laid up supplies that we need in this season. And when we get those supplies and we put them in practice, a lot of them had to do with cleansing and cleaning. When we use them, that's going to unlock the gifts in our children that they want and desire. So we called an audible. I threw my sermon in the trash. Now I have it. I might give it another time. And I shot the Shantzes an email, and I said, hey, are you willing to share with us on Sunday? And I think this is something we're going to be pursuing throughout the year from them and from other people in the network and outside of the network that are of that generation. We want to hear your stories and what the Lord put in your heart, and we want to glean from that and apply it to our lives. Because what we really want most, the whole purpose, like we want to see God move in our lives, but the whole purpose is that move to our children. Yeah, we want to see that as well. Amen. All right, so I'm going to invite you guys up. For those of you that didn't see or weren't here last time they were here, it's on the podcast, and they shared a lot of their story.
Wow. This is such a God thing today. It really is. It was perfect when Pastor Matt told me about the dream and I read that email. I knew that, you know, we would be quite willing to share. I don't know if you wanted to say something before I get started or not.
No, get started.
Okay.
It's all right.
Okay.
I'll find my way.
Yeah. We tend to, there's about 16 churches in the network, and our purpose, our role in the network is to visit all these churches. So we try to get to every church at least twice a year. And sometimes that's difficult. You wouldn't think it would be, but with family functions and grandchildren and great-grandchildren do tend to take priority sometimes when they say, come visit us. But so I looked at my schedule, and we were here last July. Now, a lot has happened in my life since then. I don't even know if you remember, but when we were here, I was wearing a hat, and I was still going through cancer. I was still going through cancer at that time. But in September, they declared me, they don't say free, but in complete remission. So my hair started to grow, and I'm in complete remission from cancer. So that happened in September. And then in December, we moved, which was I don't know if you know anything, if you've moved. That is a major stress event, major stress event. And I just got off cancer. And then in January, 5 weeks ago, I had a hip replacement. So it's
She's not
been,
looking for a husband replacement
no,
yet.
No, it's been a very interesting year with a whole lot of things going on. I'm ready for it to calm down and I can focus on some other things. But even in the midst of all that, God is so good. And he was faithful through it all. So I say all that to say a lot has happened. Now, I'm very excited that we can be here now when you announce that, yes, you're out of the engagement period and you're part of the Hopewell Network. Because now we are not just brothers and sisters in the family of God. Now we're living under the same roof. Now we're brothers and sisters. We're in the same house. So we become like your grandparents because we're probably the oldest people in the network, I think. At least he is. I'm not
sneaking up on
it. But we're getting there. I think we're about the oldest. We were there when it first started. So it's been very exciting to walk this journey and watch the churches come together and we become family. It's so cool. It's so cool. And like I said, we try to visit the churches at least twice a year. Some churches, I have one church that, I don't say it's not my church, but we have one church that's about 2.5 hours away, and they're thinking of doing a school that we run, and we'll probably be up there 3 weekends 1 month. So sometimes there's special needs, and if that's the case, we'll come as often as you want. It's no problem. So I'm also, I'm a counselor, that's what I do, and even through cancer and everything else, I still, on good weeks, would have some appointments, but one of the things with, as a counselor, one of the things I look for in a person's life is, do you have a covering? Do you have a covering? Do you have a physical covering, and do you have a spiritual covering? It's so important, because you know from the book of Deuteronomy, it says the blessings and the curses come down through the generations. And so depending what your covering is, it's going to show us what kind of blessings and sometimes curses that come down through our lives. The curses we break off, and the blessings, sometimes we have to look for them. Sometimes they're not real easy to see. I know in my family, if I go back enough generations, they went to powwow doctors. And the powwow doctors would use scripture. And so they thought it was good. And when I realized that, I thought, no, that's a curse that came down through the generations. I need to break that one off. That's one thing I don't want in this supply of gifts. Okay? But sometimes we have to look to really find the blessing. Sometimes they're not real obvious. It's easy to see the negativity in your family. If you had horse thieves or whatever was going on, you know, it's easy to see that. But sometimes you have to look a little deeper to find those gifts and find those blessings that are coming down into your life. So for me, and John, the network, that's another covering. I'm talking about the physical covering in your family. And John's going to talk a little more about the network covering and what that looks like. But in my family, it was a real challenge to find that blessing. Because for the three generations, I don't know if it's ahead of me, I guess you would say, we were bar and restaurant owners. That's where I lived. And so that's the life I knew. So to find the blessing in all of that. So when I look back really hard, I saw that there was, now keep in mind, if they were bar and restaurant people, Saturday nights, they were up really, really late. But, and we all lived together. So it was three generations ahead of me. And we all lived together in this big old hotel. But every Sunday morning, we went to church faithfully. It was religion. We didn't know about being born again. We were Lutheran. And it was a religious experience. But we faithfully went to church. Yeah. And so when I looked at that, I thought, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Because I realized I have such a commitment that when we got married, now we have a bar and restaurant before we were saved. And we have five children. I didn't think twice. No matter what time I got to bed on a Saturday night, I got up, got those kids ready, and we went to church. Because that blessing came down through the generations. And I wasn't going to miss out on that gift. That was something that was planted in me, and I didn't even know it. So that was one. Another was, you said about family dinner. We had family dinner. Every evening, we all sat around. Now, we're talking three generations and myself, my brother and sister. We had family dinner together no matter what. They had a bar and restaurant they were running. They also had a farm. In those days, you ran a farm, too. But in spite of all that work going around us, we came to that table and had family dinner. I thought, whoa, what a heritage. And when I looked really, really close in the midst of this occupation and everything we were doing, it was a helping, serving people experience. And that's what I saw my family doing. What are we doing? Helping, serving people. That's where our life ended up. So those blessings, it's kind of like the meaning of your name. The meaning of my name is a helper. It means a defender of the truth. Believe me, when I was a teenager in my early 20s, you would have never seen that in me. Not at all. It took a while for that blessing to come about, that covering, that gift that God spoke into my life when he named me Sandra. But eventually, here we are, bearing the fruit of all of that. And so it's something I encourage you. If you have parents, grandparents, even great-grandparents still living, speak to them. Find out the history. Find out the things they did, what they believed, and where they went. Get that heritage. Don't miss out on it. Let me share. I just want to share a couple verses with you. It was a few weeks ago. I was reading in Joshua. So when Pastor Matt called, that's the first thing I thought of what I had read in Joshua. And the one verse is Joshua 22:28. In the future, your children might say that we do not belong to Israel. Then our children could say, look, our fathers who lived before us made an altar. It is exactly like the Lord's altar. We do not use it for sacrifices, This altar shows that we are part of Israel. I want to ask you, is there something tangible in your home that tells just those who enter your home, and especially your family, who you are, what's important to you? And I'm not saying you have to have your room filled with pictures of Jesus. I love the ocean, so I put ocean things up. But there are things. There are scripture verses. There's pictures of Jesus. I remember when we had to do away with my mother's things, my grandmother's things. I remember pictures of Jesus, really old ones. You remember the one picture where he's kneeling? I guess it's supposed to be Gethsemane. And there's one of the two children crossing the bridge. They were older pictures. They had those on the wall in our living room. There was something tangible. It wasn't an altar, as Joshua was saying, but something you could look at and remember. In Joshua 24, 25, on that day, Joshua made an agreement for the people. He made the agreement a law for them to follow. And this happened at Shechem. Joshua wrote these things in the book of the teachings of God. Then he found a large stone. He put the stone under the oak tree near the Lord's holy tent. Then Joshua said to all the people, "See this stone? It will help you remember what we did today. It was here when the Lord was speaking to us today. And it will help you remember what happened. It will stop you from turning against your God." Again, write the history down. My sister's still reading through the journals my mother wrote, and we're still being blessed by that. And I have many journals, and I used to tell John, "I don't want anybody reading these. I'm burning them. You know, I'm not gonna." But no, they need to read the history. It was written down. And again, that stone was there. There was something tangible. So I hope in your home there are tangible things that the generations now coming behind you, because now we're the oldest anyway. We're the oldest. Now there's three generations, our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. And when they come into our home, I want them to see things. I want them to hear things. I want them to see things that are written down that will plant something in them that they will remember. I want to plant those gifts in their heart, not just the tangible ones. And then Joshua 24, verse 31. The Israelites had served the Lord during the time Joshua was living. And after he died, they continued to serve the Lord. They continued to serve him while their older leaders were still alive. These were the leaders who had seen what the Lord had done for the Israelites. Plant faith in your future generations. Plant it now. I don't know about you, but that verse scares me. We need to speak it. Pray with them while we still have breath. Because when the older leaders, the ones that saw all these things, the beginning of the network, our salvation story, we saw that. We lived through that charismatic revival. And we need to tell it to the children, because when we're not here, the Israelites turned away. When the older leaders who saw what God did, then the children turned away. So we're responsible for passing those gifts on now. And you know, we sang about trusting, and really it was a major time in worship to give everything to the Lord and trust him with it. We have 5 children, we have 18 grandchildren, and we have 15 great-grandchildren. I don't know if I'm going to see...
People aren't sleeping well.
I don't know if I'm going to see the fulfillment of their salvation. I don't know how much I'm going to see. They're not all where I'd like to see them. And so I have decided many years ago that if I die and don't see that, it's okay, because I trust the Lord to complete the work he started in them. Amen. I don't have to see it, okay? I don't have to see it. I plant it. You know, we've shown them things, we've spoken to them, we prayed with them, they see things in our home. Whatever we're going to leave behind as the gifts, they're going to be there. But I don't have to see it. If I don't see it before I die, it's okay, because I trust the Lord with that.
Amen.
That's a huge statement, a place to come to. And one other verse that just touched me the other day in my morning time, it was Psalm 103, verse 2. And it says this, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me." Psalm 103, verse 2. Never forget, so that you can pass it on. Jesus reminded his disciples not to forget him. He told them all about how he was going to die. When the time came, they, what's happening? But he told them, he prepared them. And that's what communion's all about, to remember him. That's why we do things like that. So, the question I have for you that you might want to ponder, what are you gleaning? What are you gleaning from the past? Don't miss the opportunity, especially if you have generations that are still with you. What are you gleaning from them? And the other question is, what are you passing on? What are you passing on? So I'm excited to see what God's going to do in this church. And you're part in our family now. It's very exciting, and we're looking forward to it.
And I'm finding more and more the need to hear the stories. Our church that we are in for Spring City, they are now doing their Sunday school class, and they're having people come every week and give testimony. And it's really, really helpful, because we can sit next to people in church and somebody will say, "Do you know so-and-so?" They'll say, "Yes, I know them." But really, you don't. You know what the figure looks like. You know that part, but you really don't know what's inside the cover. And it's so important to be able to understand the journey that people have taken. We were in... Sandy was Lutheran, I was Methodist. We ended up being an Episcopalian thing, and we really never nothing much of anything except church tenders. And I even ceased from that until finally we became Christians. And it's 46 years ago on the 20th of this past January, 46 years ago. And yeah, great day indeed. Interesting thing was, we went into a Mennonite church. And the interesting thing was, we did not find judgments and condemnation there. There was no sign going around the room saying, "These people are sinners."
We always sat in the front row. That's where the worst people sat. When I was a kid, in the Mennonite Methodist church, that was the amen row. There would be your old guys sitting there, and it'd be, "Amen, amen." You don't even hear that anymore.
Amen.
So we sat in the front row. We didn't have much to say, you know. And it was so interesting. And there was no sign saying these people were divorced. There was no sign saying these people have sinned and adulterers and all that kind of stuff. There was no sign that came from those people ever.
Amen.
But the one thing that came was, "We're loving you. How can we help you? We're praying for you constantly, consistently." So it made us understand that our concept of what religion was all about, or being a Christian, was diametrically different than what we ever exposed to. We also realized that had it not been for that church, we'd have probably never made it, because the customs of the church would have not allowed us. First of all, being divorced is the worst thing in the world. There's no forgiveness for that, you know, that kind of stuff. Wearing the right clothing, that kind of stuff. But we got into this place of where you fell in love with the people, and being a Mennonite wasn't a bad thing at all. But there was a point in time when we were first a part of the Atlantic Coast Conference, so in about maybe 1999, somewhere along there, there became a bit of an unrest. The denomination was going in one direction,
the Lord was taking us and our churches in another direction. Peace and justice, salvation. Getting intimate with the Lord, that kind of stuff. It was really difficult. And we were convinced that we needed to leave the denomination. But we didn't want to break away from the denomination. We didn't have any reason to dislike or hate or whatever the conditions are that people change. We were just convinced that the Lord was taking us another direction. And finally, we met with the leadership of the conference about a year and a half, I believe it was. And they came to the realization that just as surely as the Lord called the uniqueness of the things that happened at Hopewell Elverson, and all of a sudden this district emerged from it, was something else was still beginning to happen, and they did not want to hinder. And I can't tell you how blessed I am, how blessed we have been, that that denomination called a big meeting in Baltimore in 2001 and commissioned us with their blessing to follow the direction the Lord was taking us. We didn't cease to be Anabaptist, never have ceased to be Anabaptist. And actually, in truth, we probably never quit being Mennonite in some degree, because they were so instrumental in what they entrusted to us and imparted to us. And then, of course, the network was formed. And the neat thing I like about the network, we get around to all the churches. There is no cookie cutter pattern. We're not trying to make you be like someone else. We want you to be the way God has equipped you and what he's doing in you and through you. That's what we want to see. And so we find it, I get so excited when I come to the churches and we see the things that are happening there, where people are getting something that is different than religion, and it gives them value, and their relationship with the Lord becomes very personal. Very personal. And what a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. And so when we go around, it's like we can go home and say, gee, what did you see? See what the kids were doing up there? And there's a lot of things going on in children. A lot of things. But more importantly, is there not a lot of things going on in us? This last year has been a real trip, I want to tell you. You know, the hard part of being about a Christian is doing what Christians ought to be doing. I didn't think that was tough at all. I mean, I'm really good at what I do. I mean, I think I am and all that kind of stuff. I approve of myself. But when it comes down to it, there's those times when all of a sudden it's like going to get an MRI, an evaluation of your journey. James says, count it all joy. Count it all. In fact, he doesn't just say, he consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Anybody here get excited about trials? You don't even know it's a trial, do you? No, you just know that something's really coming against you, and it hurts. And I don't know how to make it through it. And I don't know if God's with me or not. I wonder sometimes if he just didn't turn his face away and just, you got to go through this on your own. No, that's not true. He's always there for you. We came down with COVID back in December. That was our Christmas present year before. And in that time, I was getting all upset with the people that were filled with fear instead of faith. I thought, how can you be a Christian and not even think about the faithfulness of the Lord and call upon him and trust him? And so I'm really getting upset with Christians, not acting like Christians. And I thought, the Lord's not going to, I won't have to get the COVID. I'm not getting the shot. But guess what? I got COVID. And it was 3 days of absolute delirium. I mean, I was really off the wall. But then after that, things began to clear up. And as all of a sudden, as the Lord spoke to me, it's not that I couldn't have kept you from the COVID. I needed to take you through the COVID. Because your faith was becoming an idol. Lord, don't we need more faith? How can that be an idol? When you look down on others and condemn them because they lack it, that's an idol. There is no way that you can fruitfully minister to people when you're trying to minister to them out of condemnation or judgments. It broke my heart. I never had any idea. Never had any idea that that could happen to me. So the trial was more than just a trial. It was something to introduce me to more of what I needed to know and understand. Thought I was in this ideal place, and I needed some training. And so the Lord over this last year has been doing that kind of stuff, training me what it means to walk as a Christian. For instance, one of the things was there were some disagreements. And the disagreement made me want to get angry and defend myself. And it was just one of those quiet times. It's not like big, boom, the Lord shows up. No, it's, really? Really? Is that the way you're going to act? Is that really? I'll even tell you what it was. I was going into a grocery store, and I didn't have a mask on. I lost 6 hearing aids with those masks, and I had no love for them. And there's this big guy going in the grocery store, and he thought I'm taking my cart back to the return place. He said, I'll take it. I said, no, I'm going in. He said, you don't have a mask on. I said, I know, but I'm just going to go in and get something, dash out real quick. Well, he runs in the store and goes over to one of the employees and says, that guy over there don't have a mask on. And I wasn't hearing very well, and so I walked toward him. Social distancing, he said. Now, there's a man that rose up in me I thought was completely dead. He said, I'm going to clean that guy's clock. Who does he think he is? I mean, he's acting like a little 2-year-old. He's telling these things to the employees there trying to get me in trouble. And I didn't verbally say it. Thank God, my mouth was shut. I walk out of the store and across the parking lot and said, that Lord said to me, really good and convincing testimony of your love. Really nice that you would want to clean somebody's clock when it might be yours that really gets broken. You know, one of those kind of things. And I thought, but things were becoming very personal, very real. Not condemning, not judging, being made aware. I must confess, he's still doing it. Now, I'm a little past 84 now, and I thought I was beyond all that stuff. No, you're not. No, you're not. As long as we have this tent we live in, there's problems can arise, and we're the first one to miss it. So trials, I don't ask the Lord for more trials. I don't, oh Lord, couldn't you just try me one more time? No, I don't do that. But I do say this. Lord, if something's coming, I believe that you're permitting it to happen for my benefit. There's something for me to glean that will cause me to be better than I was before this trial came. And I get all giddy and excited. I'm like a little kid. I thought, Lord, you love me enough. You love me enough to keep training me and taking me in those times I think you'd want to set me on a shelf someplace or in a closet. But no. You just want to keep refining me and refining me. And then it was loving. And the question came to me, have you ever confessed to love someone? My goodness, yes. I even confessed to love you guys. I haven't even really personally met all of you yet. But in my heart, I love you. But if something goes wrong, do I cease to love you? Do I take it back and write it off? Absolutely not. You spoke those words out of your mouth, and those words are stable. They're there. They're not going to go anyplace, and neither should you. Love is not a give and take. It's not a come and go. It's a confession that it's not temporary, it's permanent. That's another thing the Lord has shown me. And then one day, he took me to Revelations 12:10. Revelations 12:10, there's the latter part of it says about the accuser of the brethren. Yeah.
And I don't know how many times I had an opinion. I knew the story through and through. I could tell it from beginning to end. I knew all the facts. But handled it absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. I got in camp with the enemy supporting his charge against these individuals. Instead of saying, I will move into the place of my Redeemer, I will stand with him, not with the enemy. And I had no idea I was doing that. Another heartbreaker. Because you see, the things that maybe could have been different, maybe would have changed. And it grieves your heart, at least mine, to think that I could be part of assisting the accuser. The day we're in. We're in a day that is needing for Christians to be able to fully be able to understand where they stand, how they stand, and why they stand. This is not a game. This is a life situation. Giving over, taking. I'm excited about these colleges, and it's in, I think, in two other countries. It's these, in fact, it just was in Jamaica or someplace. I mean, these are tons of people there. The one picture is they're out in a bay, like, and people are getting baptized. That's as far as you can see, people getting baptized. People are just moving to the Lord. There's Asbury, I guess it is. I think it's still going on. Started a week ago Wednesday, and it's still going on. People coming from all over the country to go in and see what's happening. There's maybe five or six or eight other places where it's happening. This happened in Asbury in 1970 when the Charismatic Revival broke out. You think it could be time? You think it could be time? I believe it is. I believe it's the time when we need to be prepared for the Lord's return. And there's a scripture I had here someplace. My one friend and I talks about in Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. We both believe that we won't see physical death. Imagine that. That the Lord will return and take us away. And I'm not too keen on high places, but I guess if the Lord takes you and you're going, you're not going to worry about it. I don't think you'd be looking down to where you're going. You're looking up to where you're going. But we are so close to that. And I can't predict when the Lord's coming back. That's not my job. Never gave me that call. But there's so much ready to happen, and the bride of Christ is going through trials and testings. Our nation. There's so many stories I could tell you. What time do you get done here? 1 o'clock? No. I thought I knew something was going to happen. It happened in, and I forget what I told you last, I tell so many stories, I forget where I tell them. Before the last election, in August that year, the Lord told me to read the book of Esther, which I've read before. I like the book. It's my wife's favorite. So I'm reading this book, and after I'm finished, I said, okay, Lord, what am I to highlight? What was the purpose of this? And he said, Wicked Haman. And I said, Wicked Haman. Yes, when his evil was at its peak, his own evil caused his own death. I said, oh, okay, I get it. So the election's going to look really horrible, and our guy's going to win. You know, he's going to win. Somehow he'll win, and everybody will know that you did it. It didn't happen. I said, Lord, what did I miss? What did I miss? And the answer was, evil has not yet reached its fulfillment. When it does, then I will take care of it. And it put me in an unusual place, but a good place. All this past year, so many things. One is that I cannot change people's lives. I do not have the power to save them. I can only lead them to the one who can. I can't heal them, but I can lead them to the one who can. There's so many things that I cannot do.
but all the things I cannot do are available to me through Christ. What? And the stuff that I don't understand, there's so much yet I don't understand. But I have a confidence in the Lord's ability to do what he promised. No matter how it looks like, no matter how it comes, it does not have to be on my timetable. I just know it's going to happen. He's coming back. He's coming back. And it's up to us. And that's one of the things that's nice about a network, too, because we get these mutual encouragements from one another. We have this monthly meeting. I have a cluster meeting once a month besides that, and people are welcome to come to that as well. And it's just time of mutual encouragement. We face a lot of stuff. There's a lot of tension and pressure. And if your families are, you know, your family's gone through all kinds of stuff and you feel helpless to do anything about it, our God is not helpless. And he will be on time, whatever that means. And I came to the place, if he can rescue and bring to salvation a guy like me, if he can do that, he can do anything. He can do anything. So we're very grateful to be able to be here and to just share things that are happening in the body of Christ. And by the way, the worship this morning, I really appreciated. It was, I don't do a lot of singing in tongues and stuff, but at times like that, I did. I felt an unction to just not think about anything other than that moment. Be in the moment. Love God with all your heart. And then watch how he pours back over you. So thank you so much for allowing us to come and share with you. And I've got stories I could tell for a long time about God's faithfulness. And it surely is. I'll give you one quickie. It's only one, right? I believe every day that I'm going to have an opportunity to extend the kingdom to someone or do something, give indication of our value as Christians or other people's value. I went in a post office about a month ago now, and there's a lady in there and she's crying. I mean, profusely. She is really crying. Now, I don't know what to do. I'm thinking she's not getting off that phone and she's hooked up to it. And I don't know if I should hang around. So I picked up the mail. There was a blank side of the back side of an envelope. And I wrote on there, "Would you like prayer?" Held it up. Okay. 15 minutes I wait, at least. Now I'm thinking, you're a foolish man. This is going to be, you're just wasting time, you know. But you can't leave because something connected. Make a long story short, she ended up becoming a Christian a couple of weeks ago. As the story of her life is being rewritten. But it's exciting not knowing. I mean, there's just opportunities all over the place. And I can't hardly do it anymore. I will see something and I'll walk by it because I don't want to interfere. I don't want to be a disruption. But then, yes, I do. If it's something the Lord wants to do. But you know what? We never find out because we never ask. We're quiet. We keep quiet about our faith, as if it's something to hide. Mm-mm. There's so many people waiting for someone like you to walk by and just say, "Hello, can I help you?" That's all it takes. You never know. Anyway, Lord, I just want to thank you for the integrity of this congregation. For the people gathered here, because, Lord, it's quite evident that they have not been satisfied about their journey. They want more.
Yes.
They want more. Whatever that means, they want more. So, Lord, I entrust you to bring to them these moments when you become so absolutely, totally real that it can never be questioned or be denied. Make their faith really strong. Make their commitments to each other as they gather together to discern the season and how to go about the season they're in. Help them to see the ways to lift you up. Because, Lord,
It's you that we want to make famous. We want all people to be introduced to you because of the evidence of what you've done in our lives. And that's our testimony. That's our story. And that's what people need to hear and experience. So bless them with the power and the love and the grace and the mercy and the gifts of healing. All those things, Lord, bring to them that they might effectively minister to this area in which they've been entrusted. Bless them. I love them in Jesus' name.
And I want to encourage you too. You know, your pastor shared a dream. And as pastors, we don't always have all the information we need. But the pastor, it, like, stands in the center, and if the people don't bring their dreams, their visions, their insights to him, or her, what, you know, his wife also, they're not getting all the pieces of the puzzle. So I would encourage you that if God shares something with you about what he has shared about the dream, to share it with him. Because that's going to continue to bring the pieces together of understanding. Because sometimes God gives, you know, information so that we don't feel like, you know, it's all us, but he gives some information to other people. And when I thought of that outdated dog food, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to give us fresh manna every day. He doesn't want us to have something that's old. He wants to give us fresh manna. And the air freshener and the soap and the washer and dryer, I'm sure there's a lot more to that. But I believe it's important that we breathe in the breath of God. We need to exhale the things that are not good for us and breathe in that fresh air. Breathe in the breath of God. And the cleansing, constant repentance. That's what this revival that's happening now, it's all about repentance.
Yeah.
And we can, well, we have to daily say, Lord, forgive me. We can't just let days go by and think I'm okay. We need that daily repentance. That daily cleansing and washing.
Our pastor used to have, of all things, a cigar box. Had a cigar box, and all these dreams and visions and scriptures that people, he put them in that box. And sorting through them. One of the first was a wagon wheel. Someone got the picture of a wagon wheel. Then somebody else got the spokes on the wheel going, locating where the churches were going to be. I mean, I don't be a good dream interpreter, but there was just things begin to get planted, and God has a way of making everyone feel like they can be contributors. You don't have to force it. It's like, if it comes to you, write it down, make note, and all of a sudden you'll find yourself being directed. And that, what a comfort it is when you know that I'm not making it happen, but I can be a contributor to what's happening.
Amen.
So there are people here that I'm sure are ready to pray with you. We're certainly willing to pray with you. But if there are judgments, if there's foundational lies, if there's things in your spirit that you have held against past generations, and maybe you didn't even have all the information, but if you held any kind of criticism or judgment toward parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, lay it down. And you can do that today. Come forward and be willing to lay that down and receive the fresh manna that I believe Holy Spirit has for you. But to receive the fresh manna, we have to exhale the judgments and the criticism and the things that will keep you in bondage. So it's so important to release that.
Amen.
So that's your challenge today, if you want prayer.
Thanks, guys. We're going to do an experiment with moving into a prayer time, if that's all right with everybody. So we've not done that recently, but if you want prayer, I'm going to get on the guitar. Folks will be up here, our elder team and other people that are key. Come on up and receive prayer for people. If you're ready to go, sneak on out. We love you. We can hang out during next week's meal. All right, so let me just pray, everybody. So, Father, thank you for what you're doing among us and the invitation that you put before us to encounter more of you this morning. We just pray for boldness to receive it correctly. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you'd like prayer, come on up. If you want to visit, visit quiet. Time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my